From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Such a pleasure to see you all. Thank you so much for being here. We got a great show for you today. Pete Docter of Pixar will be here to play Not My Job. But first, a little while ago, Carl Castle announced that he will be retiring from the morning newscast, which he's been doing for more than 30 years at NPR. Carl will be staying on as our judge and scorekeeper, of course. But Carl, why did you quit your newscast gig?
Well, Peter, because after 30 years of getting up at 1 in the morning, I only want to see another sunrise after I've partied all night.
Sounds likely. So let's get this party started. Call us up, answer some questions about the week's news. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, that's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. It's Mark Spindle from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, one of the wonderful suburbs around Detroit, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you do there?
I just got out of the military, and I'm starting school again in January.
Oh, really? So. What branch?
The Navy.
The Navy. And how did you enjoy the Navy?
Not very much.
What did you do for our nation?
Not too much. I got off the coast of South America for a lot.
So you basically floated around South America?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your service and for enduring it. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Mark. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and author of his latest book, Driving Like Crazy, the immortal Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Mark, weren't you guys supposed to get rid of that Hugo Chavez guy?
Oh, we can't talk about that.
Okay, no. Sorry. Never mind.
Next, you know her from Saturday Night Live, and her movie Letting Go of God is on Showtime all this month. Say hello to Julia Sweeney.
Hello. Okay. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Good.
Also a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber is here.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Adam.
Well, Mark, welcome to the show. Now, because Carl won't be getting up to do the early morning newscasts anymore, it means he'll be able to devote himself to his other career, club DJ. So, a little bit of practice today. He's going to play a round of Carl Castle's Countdown. That's the game in which Carl plays some hits for you that were inspired by stories in the week's news. Your job, identify that story 2 times out of 3. Do that, you'll win. Ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Carl, what's the first hit?
Peter, here's a classic oldie that people at the White House were singing at a big get-together last week.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, baked a cake, baked a cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. How'd you do?
How'd you do?
How'd you do?
How did they do? Well, the White House didn't know who was coming to the big state dinner last week.
The Party Crashers?
Exactly right. The Salahis is their name. Tariq and Michaela Salahi. As it turns out, it is harder to get on the Delta shuttle than it is to get into the White House to meet the president. The Salahis apparently were allowed into the White House for the state dinner because, first, they looked the part, and second, it was raining. Oh, no, you don't want to keep the uninvited sociopaths waiting on the White House steps, do you? Turns out, as further inquiry has discovered, the Salahis have a history of this sort of thing. They constantly go places they're not invited. This explains the pictures they posted on Facebook of themselves climbing up the ladder onto the last helicopter out of Vietnam, welcoming Neil Armstrong to the moon, and standing at the end of the table in Da Vinci's Last Supper.
This is working out great for them already, though. I mean, they wanted attention, and they got it. Apparently, they're going to have guest spots on, like, CSI Miami, Glee, and According to Jim.
The producers don't know about
I know. But,
you know, what gets me is that these two people stuck out as liars and posers in Washington. I mean, I'm high bar.
Carl, what is the next song?
Well, this is Annette Funicello describing a new strategy the White House unveiled for a certain country this week.
You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in and
So the president announced we're going to put ourselves in, then take ourselves out. Of where?
Afghanistan.
That's right. Very good. President Obama announced to an audience of West Point cadets that he's going to send 30,000 more troops to Afghanistan to win the war there. But the troops have only until June 2011 to do it. It's like a time challenge on a game show. You know, it's like The Amazing Race, Kabul edition. Or so you think you can pacify this country?
Yeah, those 30,000 are each going to be carrying eggs on teaspoons.
Exactly, just to make it a little harder.
I don't understand how you can declare war and say, and then we're going to end this war on, you know, Wednesday, yeah. June 10th.
Exactly.
At noon.
So I'll see you then there, everybody.
But we're going to fight so hard until that day, so right. Get ready.
Interestingly, Churchill did the same thing.
Yes.
We shall fight them on the shores, we shall fight them in the hills, we shall fight them in the beaches until Thursday. Then we shall stop fighting
then
them.
Then we shall stop fighting.
Carl, what is the last song?
Peter, this one's a mashup inspired by a little scandal this week, featuring that classic 50s hit, Leader of the Pack.
As he drove away on that rainy night, I begged him to go slow. And what he heard, I'll never know.
So, who survived a car crash this week only to maybe wish he hadn't?
Tiger Woods.
Yes. At first, we all believed Tiger's story. He was up early on Black Friday, 2 a.m., just to be first in line at Walmart to get his Juju toy hamster. And he's so excited about it, he doesn't see the tree in the fire hydrant. And thank God that somewhere in his multi-million dollar mansion, his wife was able to find a golf club to free her beloved husband from the wreck, or in the case of a more serious injury, to put him out of his misery. And smashing the car with the club did not help him. She slashed the tires to lower it to the ground.
With a T.
Easier access, yes. Yeah. There are a lot of questions about the incident, not least concerning the women who are now coming forward to claim they were his unauthorized playing partners. But for us, the biggest question of the whole thing is, how in the world did the guy who was supposed to change the image of golf forever end up living in a gated community in Florida and driving his Lincoln into a tree outside his own house? It's true, golf will turn anyone into an old white guy.
Yeah. It's underreported, but at the time of the accident, he was wearing a monocle.
And you know what? The entire trip down the driveway, his left blinker was on the whole way. Carl, how did Mark do in our quiz?
Well, Mark, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine, cell phone, or whatever you have there.
Mark, thank you so much. You did a great job. Thanks for playing our game.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.